As long as the teachers' strike is going on, we are doing regular coverage of the teachers' strike in Los Angeles. 30,000 teachers who are out as of the end of last week. The school district has lost $125 million as a result of the strike. School attendance by Friday was only about 13%. So we'll see how all of this goes. Also, teachers have been out on the streets regularly, and they heard from a union organizer from New York, from Verizon, talking about what they went through with the Verizon strike and encouraging teachers to stay the course. And I'd like to welcome our guest today, Stacy Joy, National Board Certified Teacher, Los Angeles County Teacher of the Year, LAUSD Teacher of the Year. So two Teacher of the Year honors there. She has a master's degree in education administration, and she's been teaching in elementary education for 33 years. And Stacy herself is a product of the Los Angeles Unified School District. Stacy, thank you for joining us, and welcome to our Martin Luther King Day special.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such an honor. I'm so excited.
Oh, very good. Well, Stacy, before we just talk, dig in a bit about your experience as a teacher and the changes you've seen over the years. Today is our Martin Luther King Day special, and I wonder what your thoughts are on Dr. King and his legacy. Were you inspired by him?
Truly inspired. I'll tell you something really funny. When I was very little, I wanted to be a trash collector. Uh-huh. And I think now about his fight for the sanitation workers, and it's kind of almost surreal to believe that as a little girl, something that I wanted to do for whatever reason, I don't know why I wanted to be a trash collector, but now that I think about it, it all kind of works in unison with who I am as a person. There's no job that's hard or too small or something that you can't have. You just have to push for whatever you want. And I think Dr. King's belief that every type of labor has dignity and we're all humans with the right to work.
Absolutely.
That's who I am.
Okay, Stacy, and you've been honored a Teacher of the Year from LA County, Teacher of the Year from LA Unified School District. So you have mm-hmm. been in teaching elementary for 33 years. Talk a bit
right.
about the changes that you have seen in the school district since then. Mm-hmm. What has been happening in the classroom, positive or negative?
Okay. When I think back as far as like in the 80s, I started teaching in 1985. And of course, the 1989 strike was just, you know, 3-4 years later.
Right. So you were part of that strike as well.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So back then it was our focus was the pay raise. I think it was a 20% pay raise at that time, which was huge for us. We were fighting to have freedom from yard duty or yard supervision, which was we'd go out for recess with the students and have to watch them the entire recess break or part of our lunch break. And it was like, well, when do we get our break?
Right.
And that was something that we never really understood that was not supposed to be because it just always was. So when we were given that relief in the agreement, that was such a breath of fresh air. It's like, oh, I can take a break. I can go have a snack or I can go to the restroom. And speaking of restrooms, even then, we couldn't use the office restroom. We couldn't use the office copy machine. There were just a lot of restrictions on teachers then mm-hmm. that were basic to me, basic human rights. Like I shouldn't have to ask to go to some other restroom as a professional.
Right.
So that's back then, it just felt a lot more like just disrespect. Now, it just feels like economic injustice, racial injustice, I want to say sneaky ways of making it feel like it's right, but you know that it's completely wrong.
Yeah.
Charter co-location being one of the biggest problems that I'm having right now because we have a charter co-located on our campus.
What does that mean for people who are not familiar with that?
Sure.
What is,
so charter co-location is, there's a charter school and they don't have a space. So the district finds empty classrooms on any school campus and offers those empty classrooms to these charter schools. So our school, we had maybe two that were just empty classrooms, but then we also had a computer lab, we had an art room, and we have a music room. And so those classrooms are considered empty by the district because they're not in, they're not holding a full class with a certified teacher. They're rotations. Like, we have teachers going in the computer lab once or twice a week, and we have teachers going to the art room when the art teacher's here. So they look at those rooms as empty.
Right, and, but they are being used. They're not empty.
Yes,
and
right.
Also,
they are not empty.
Stacey, also, for our listeners who may not get it, what is the difference between a regular school, public school, and a charter school?
So the charter schools are basically like pulling money from what's already there for public education, but they're pulling it and they're using it only for the charter school. So our school, for example, we lose funds because the charter school is draining them from us. So it's like if I were to move in your house and start living in your living room and saying, now I'm going to eat your food and I'm going to take all your supplies, I'm going to do everything I want to do in your house.
Yeah, but what then is, you know, for people who want to understand, because we know that charter schools are being pushed at the highest level. Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education, we see in New Orleans, where most of the schools there now are charter schools. But don't they have some say into which students they can accept and which not? Do you know what I mean? They seem to have more restrictions than a regular public school.
Exactly. So it's the haves and the have-nots. We pretty much look at the student population that's on my school campus is predominantly Latino, Hispanic, a handful of other, but the community around my school is not that. Mm-hmm. So when you look at a charter school, you look at the students are these are the students that were picked for that school, or they may not have the services that a student may need. For example, we have autism class and we have upper and lower grade autism class. So if a student is autistic, they may not be allowed to attend a charter school because they don't have services for those students. So definitely picking the students that they want to have.
So it's a kind of privatization of education, though, even though they are publicly funded.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. And that's our cry on the picket line is privatization of our school is also legalizing segregation.
Yeah, absolutely. So then tell us about how you have seen conditions change over the years. I know one of the things the teachers that we have had on the show spoken passionately about has to do with the lack of nurses, for example, support staff. And, you know, so it's not only about a wage increase, but it really is about better conditions. Classroom size is another one. So tell us about that.
Right. So it's definitely not just a wage situation. Our students in my school, for example, 400 plus students in our school, and we have a nurse one day a week. So basically, you can only be sick on Thursday. I have a student who's diabetic. She has to go to the office every single day for her injections. When the nurse isn't there, then who's to help her?
Does that mean that when a child is ill, for example, I mean, and you send them to the office, let's say we heard from a listener who raised the issue of the impact on the secretarial staff and the administrative staff. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, so our office assistants many, many times a day are going into the nurse's office, giving students what they call an ice pack, which is basically a frozen paper towel stuck in a Ziploc baggie, the ice pack is fixing everything. I bump my head, here's your ice pack. I have a stomach ache, here's your ice pack. Our staff in the office is inundated constantly, from Band-Aids to the makeshift ice pack to I need to lie down because I've had a rough night. We have lots of students that are suffering from trauma, and sometimes they just need a little bit of love and they need to, you know, have some time away from the classroom. There's no space for that. Our counselor works in a storage closet.
Wow. That is
right.
That is outrageous. And on the issue, too, going back a little bit to the charter schools, the schools and classrooms are being squeezed by Proposition 39, which is a state law that allows charter schools to take over classrooms, computer labs, parent centers, art and music rooms. And that's the kind of co-location that you're talking about. And, you know, also that impacts then. For schools where they're charter schools, you're sharing space with charter schools and they basically take over like art and music rooms, you know, computer labs, then that impacts also the, you know, the art and music curriculum that the students then have access to. Is that right?
Yes, our pilot program at our school is centered around culturally relevant and responsive curriculum, as well as the STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And those are the tenets of our program. So
yeah.
When we lost our art room, we're taking away a piece of what our pilot program is designed to accomplish. When we lose our technology center, our computer lab, we're taking that away. Then it rests on the laps of the teachers to integrate technology and the arts within our own classrooms, whether they be overcrowded or not, and making it happen. I mean, we still have to carry out what's expected of us from our pilot plan, but at the same time, if we're losing classroom space that obviously are part of what we're supposed to be accomplishing as a school, then how can we possibly meet the needs of our students?
Yeah, and Stacey Joy, clearly you are a stellar, an award-winning teacher. Just some final thoughts here for other teachers who are listening. Quite a few teachers listen to the show, to parents and to students, you know, who are impacted by all of this. What would you say to them?
Well, I say that as a whole, when parents, teachers and students unify, when we come together, when we stand together, when we speak together, we refuse to be silent, we can accomplish anything. We are bigger as a group. We're stronger as a group. We can push. We can continue to speak out. Like Dr. King said, we've got to stop. If we have to stop working, we just have to stop working. We're going to keep pushing until we get what's right for our students and our schools, and that's it.
Right. And the district has about 600,000 students in K through 12. And just FYI to our listeners, more than 1,000 firefighters from across the United States and Canada who are in Los Angeles as part of an international conference, they're going to be marching with striking teachers today, Tuesday, January 22nd in Los Angeles. So isn't that wonderful, the support from the community that you're getting, Stacey Joy?
That is beautiful.
Yes.
I'm so honored to hear that and to know that. And even if they're not right at my school site on the picket lines with us, we feel them in spirit.
Right. Well, Stacey Joy, all the best to you. Thank you for your service to students.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you.